Hello and welcome to addclasses.com. My name is Tara McGillicuddy and I'm the founder and director of addclasses.com. And I would like to welcome you to tonight's free webinar, ADHD and Punctuality, Even You Can Learn to Be On Time, with our instructor, Lynn Eder. So welcome, Lynn, and I'm going to hand everything over to you right now.
Okay, super. Thanks. Thanks, Tara. Thanks for having me. I am going to introduce myself, and then I do have a couple of offers for anybody listening, just in case you don't make it to the end, because I do have a ton of information to share this evening. But again, my name is Lynn Eadris. I am I'm an ADHD coach, but I'm also a woman with ADD myself, as well as mom to two young adults, one of whom is a 21-year-old young man who's a college student with ADHD. So I'm in the middle of it as well as, you know, as you guys are. I'm also wife for 29 years to probably the least ADD guy in the universe. In my private coaching practice, I specialize in working with adults who are struggling to reach their potential due to challenges with things like procrastination, disorganization, poor time management, weak follow-through, and all of those things that those of us with ADD tend to be challenged by. And as a woman with ADD, I've been where my clients are, and I've come out the other side, so to speak. You know, most days, I've gone from living in a constant state of chaos and overwhelm, which I'm sure many of you can relate to living a life of more calm and more success. So I like to say that I help my clients start firing on all cylinders in all areas of their life so that they can have more time and more energy for the things they want more of, for the things they love. You can learn more about me, what I do, the programs, products, services, and et cetera that I offer on my website. It's www.coachingaddvantages.com. So it's Coaching Advantages with two Ds, my little play on words there. As I said, I do have a couple of offers I'll throw out to you real quick. I have a transcript of this training that's available through my website when you sign up for my newsletter. So if you go to www.coachingaddvantages.com/addclasses-on-time. You'll get access to the PDF transcript of this call. I do speak quickly, and I cover a lot of ground in these trainings, so that can be really helpful. I also have a special code for anybody who's hanging on with me tonight that's good for a full 20% off any product or self-coaching program on my website. And the code for that is ADD classes. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, the code for that is ADD classes, all one word. And that is also good for my Push Past Procrastination program. And the next group starts really soon, at the time of this recording, next week. So you can learn more about that at www.addclasses.com/PPP. And again, the coupon code for anything is simply ADD classes for 20% off. So enough of all of that stuff. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about punctuality, which as an aspect of time management can be a really big struggle for many of us with ADHD. Time management is a topic for which many of my clients come to me for help, but time management isn't really a single skill. It's a complex set of skills and behaviors. There are lots of different aspects of our lives and lots of different activities that come into play with how well we manage time. How well we manage our calendars is one aspect. How well we manage our tasks and the things we need to do is another. How long it takes us to get stuff done and how well we estimate and judge the passage of time all come into play as well. And all of those skills can be sort of intertwined with how punctual we are with the things we do every day. Each of those aspects can affect the others, and they really are sort of intertwined. I always say a lot of our ADD struggles, especially when it comes to time management, are like a big pile of tangled spaghetti. You know, you pull one strand and it affects something else and so on. So time management really is a complex topic. So in this training, I'm going to focus on the punctuality piece, the piece that's about being on time. And again, I have a lot of information to cover on this call, and I know I speak quickly, so if you can hang in there with me and follow along with the outline we have for you, or, you know, if you're listening to the replay, you can follow along with the transcript, or you can listen to the replay as well, you know, if you need to kind of review or digest it again. So I'm going to help you unravel why you struggle to be on time and learn some simple tools to improve punctuality and reduce the stress that comes from constantly racing the clock. And, of course, you know, Tara's going to leave this replay up for about a week, she said, so you can go back and listen again if you need to. And if you want to access the training beyond next week, you can always access it as part of the ADD audio library at addclasses.com. And if you have questions, of course, we have time at the end for a little Q&A. So punctuality is a topic that's sort of near and dear to my heart. And I say sort of because it's something that I wrestled with for much of my life. Again, I'm a woman with ADHD myself, so I've been where many of you are, you know, struggling and trying and working to be organized and productive and to follow through on my commitments and always, always trying so hard to be on time. That's probably been my biggest challenge, with a close second being paper management, honestly. Punctuality is a problem that was really vexing for me for the first 30 years of my life. I come from a long line of chronically tardy women. I have three sisters and a mom, all of whom are very ADD. So I know that if I can get a handle on it, anyone can, seriously. So if I can learn to be on time, I can help you learn to be on time too. For those of us who are chronically tardy, you know, frequently late, that old phrase, better late than never, doesn't really apply. So if you're someone whose friends, family, and coworkers expect to be late and maybe even tell you a start time that's maybe a little earlier than what it actually is, hoping that you'll arrive at the right time, this coaching session is for you. So let's start with how our struggle with punctuality impacts us. You know, really, our struggles with being on time can affect virtually every single aspect of our lives. When I was writing my first presentation on this topic, I looked up synonyms for the word punctuality because I felt like I was using the word way too much. And we're going back like a decade now. I just wanted to get some alternative words that I could use to kind of substitute in. But I was actually really surprised that the third synonym listed for punctuality under Webster's Dictionary was actually reliability. To me, that was huge, really impactful. Because throughout my life, I've always thought of myself as someone who is reliable, someone that the people that I care about, the people who care about me, can really rely on. That's something that I strive for, and it's something that I really value in a person's character. I would say that the people in my life know that they can always rely on me to be there for them when they need me and to come through for them. But in the past, they really couldn't always rely on me to do it on time. You know, I tried so hard, but I always struggled. I tried all the tricks, all the, you know, the simple things that we try, setting your clocks forward, you know, trying to get up earlier, all of that stuff. But to me, you know, punctuality and reliability are two really different things. But the rest of the world doesn't seem to think so, and apparently Webster doesn't seem to think so. The non-ADD world thinks more like Webster. They think of people who are punctual as people who are reliable, and unfortunately, they think of people who are often late or tardy, not punctual, as people who are unreliable. You know, people draw conclusions about us, about our character, about our intentions when we're late. No matter how good our intentions are and how much we strive to be on time and to be reliable, when we're late, especially when we're chronically late, people really do perceive us as flaky. They perceive us as inconsiderate or disrespectful and apparently unreliable as well. I've even heard it said that people who are often late are passive aggressive. That's our way of being aggressive or showing that we have control over a situation. Anybody who knows anybody who has ADHD, who really knows them, knows their heart, knows that that's really not the case. We often have the very best of intentions, and most of us try really hard not to keep people waiting and not to let them down. You know, ADHD is often described as a condition of good intentions gone awry. Most of us with ADHD honestly don't intend to be disrespectful. We don't intend to be inconsiderate or unreliable or waste other people's time. You know, most of us start every single day of our lives intending to be punctual, intending to be reliable and considerate, and the last thing we want to do is to let other people or ourselves down by being late yet again. It's such a struggle. And this struggle can place strain on our social and our family relationships, and it can cause stress and difficulty at work. And at school, I mean, there can be an incredible amount of stress day after day around our struggles with being on time, and it can affect us at home, at work, and in every single aspect of our lives when we're constantly on high alert, trying and struggling to be on time for our commitments. And then, of course, there are financial ramifications as well. You know, we may find ourselves spending money we hadn't planned to on things like cab fare or, you know, expensive extra, you know, close parking spaces. You know, we pay late fees, we pay surcharges, and we pay for expedited shipping. So many of us also may have been passed over for promotions or missed opportunities for career advancement because we have problems with being on time. And over time, after years and years of struggling to be on time and not being particularly successful, our self-concept and our self-esteem really takes a beating. And you know, if you've ever heard me speak before, if you know, if you've ever worked with me in any one-on-one or group situations, I think the negative self-talk and the beliefs that can become our reality do far more harm than any criticism we may receive from others. You know, it really can be a vicious cycle, and it really can take a toll on all areas of our lives over time, and especially on how we feel about ourselves. So what's the deal, right? I mean, if we're not intentionally inconsiderate or disrespectful, if we're really not trying to drive anyone nuts or drive ourselves nuts, why do we struggle so much with punctuality? Well, as you can imagine, exactly what causes a particular individual to struggle to be on time is often a complex hodgepodge of problems with behaviors, which can include things like, you know, morning brain fog, you know, if you're a slow waker-upper like me, bad habits, disorganization, that poor sense of time, poor sleep habits, and on and on and on. Some of what causes our struggle goes back to those hallmark characteristics of ADHD, you know, the distractibility and impulsivity. So our distractibility gets in the way. For starters, you know, when we lose track of time, obviously, we lose track of what we're supposed to be doing and get sidetracked by something else. Something like, you know, email, television, or other things that need to be done. It really could be anything. And really, the list of things that could be potential distractions to someone with ADHD like me really is virtually endless, as you guys know all too well, I'm sure. You know, sometimes I don't need any outside help. I can get distracted just inside my own mind. So our distractibility plays a role, but also our impulsivity can get in the way of us being on time, even for those of us who don't think of themselves as really impulsive, you know, type ADHDers. But when we do things we hadn't planned on, or we make spur-of-the-moment choices that can get us in trouble with being on time, that's a kind of impulsivity. Like making a real quick stop at the store on the way to pick up your child from soccer practice, you know, making you late, rushing to greet your upset daughter or worried daughter, worried child, and frustrating the coach, and been there, done that. Those kinds of things happen, and they can be really frustrating, I know. Again, I've been there, I've done that myself. But while our hallmark ADHD characteristics definitely get in our way, those of us with ADHD also tend to have a generally wonky sense of time overall anyway. You know, we struggle with judging the flow of time, how quickly or how slowly time is passing at any given moment. We struggle with knowing how long tasks take, judging and remembering how long they've taken in the past, and estimating how long they will take in the future. It's often said that those of us with ADHD tend to be time blind. You know, our sense of time in general is off, and our sense of time is also affected greatly by our attention. And that makes it somewhat subjective and somewhat situational as well, so it's not completely predictable. So you can't say, you know, I'm always off by 5 minutes, because how quickly or how slowly time seems to be passing may be impacted by how interested in or how focused you are on what's going on at that moment. So the more boring something is, the more slow time may seem to pass, and the more interesting something is, the more quickly it may seem to pass. So when my kids were little, my husband used to tease me like crazy that our kids were never going to learn to comprehend time because I used what he called mommy minutes. My mommy minutes were either shorter or longer than actual minutes, depending on what I was doing and what was going on with me in the moment. So if I was engaged in something, you know, like talking to a friend while our kids played at the playground, and I gave my kids the 5-minute warning that it was almost time to leave, that 5 minutes might be more like 20 minutes. So if I was engaged, you know, my mommy minutes would stretch out. If I was bored at the playground, I gave my kids that same 5-minute warning that it was time to leave, that 5 minutes might be more like 2. I mean, we used to joke around about it, but he was definitely right. And I'll talk more about tools you can use to make sure if you have mommy minutes that they're a bit more on track. So in addition to our typical ADD characteristics and our time blindness, our typical ADD-related executive function challenges also get in the way of our timeliness. Of course, I don't have time during this training to give you more than sort of a snippet of executive functions, but your executive functioning is the management function of your brain. It's what kind of connects and integrates all your different cognitive functions moment by moment so that they can act in concert, act together. It's often described as the management function of the CEO of the man. I'm saying that wrong. Let me try that again. The management function or the CEO function of the brain. But generally, your executive functions are what I think of as those sort of higher order human-only mental processes, which individuals with ADHD tend to sometimes have some struggle. Things like planning, things like organization in your mind, organization in time and space. So physical organization, but also sort of the mental organization of information and prioritization, things like that. All of these skills come into play when we plan, and all of these executive function skills tend to be things that we ADDers have some struggle with. And of course, being punctual requires a lot of planning, doesn't it? And planning, obviously, can be a struggle for us ADDers. I almost feel like I should say duh there. You know, of course, we know that planning is a struggle for those of us with ADHD. In order to plan, we have to pause, which is something that's hard for many of us with ADHD to do. And we have to pause and we have to think through and we have to organize lots of information and details in order to be punctual. And that's all executive functioning stuff. For example, to be punctual at work, you know, you need to think about what time you need to get there. You need to think about how long it will take you to travel there. You have to plan for traffic and other factors. You have to think through what needs to be done to get ready to leave, how long all those things that comprise getting ready will take you, you know, whether you have gas and so on and so on. There's a lot of planning, coordination of information, and mental organization that's required in being punctual. And all of that executive function stuff is not the kind of stuff that comes as second nature to most of us with ADHD. And even when we do plan well, and even when we feel like we've done what we need to do in order to be punctual, we can still miss the mark. And I'll bet many of you can identify this, because I know I sure can. This is me historically in a nutshell. So say you're working hard on being punctual and you feel like you're doing all the right things, right? You're planning and you're prepared and you've prepared what you can in advance. You know, you're organized, you're resisting distractions, you're keeping your impulsivity in check, you're diligently watching the time, you're trying hard to remain focused and resist hyperfocus at the same time, and maybe you're on schedule and maybe you've even got a couple minutes to spare, and then it hits. One more thing, itis. This has always been a huge one for me. I mean, big one. I have to watch it all the time. And it's huge for many of my clients, too. So when I am late personally, it's almost always because I've let my chronic case of what I call one more thing itis get the better of me. So when you're always trying to squeeze in that one last thing before you head out the door, that one more thing that puts you on the wrong side of punctual, that's what I call one more thing itis. So maybe it's a load of laundry or cleaning up the kitchen or checking your email or whatever. But if you're like me and you're like many of my clients, you might be doing pretty well at that getting ready to go thing. You know, you might be pretty ready to go until you give into that temptation and you squeeze in just that one more little thing before you head out the door. For me, that's the nail in the coffin when it comes to punctuality, and that's true for many of us ADDers. Again, we have the best of intentions, and usually what we're trying to squeeze in isn't something frivolous. It isn't something selfish or indulgent. It's something that needs to be taken care of. So often, our tendency toward one more thing itis is a symptom of bigger problems. Yeah, a piece of it is related to our poor sense of time and our inability to estimate how long things are going to take, but that can be exacerbated, of course, by our impulsivity in the moment. But those are just pieces of it. One more thing itis is often worsened by poor task management systems. So when we're not taking care of the things that need to be taken care of when they need to be taken care of, when we're procrastinating or not managing our to-dos and our time well, there's something of an avalanche effect. So we feel like we're constantly behind the eight ball and playing catch-up as we're trying to cross things off, you know, our to-do list, either literally or figuratively, at the expense of our punctuality. So we're always trying to squeeze in that one more thing. I wish I could see like a show of hands or I could see your faces, because I'm sure most of you know exactly what I'm talking about. When I talk about, you know, punctuality and I talk about one more thing itis in live presentations or with clients, I get a lot of head nobbing and a lot of elbowing. You know, it's an important part of being able to be punctual to have good task management systems and good behaviors and good habits in place. I'm pretty sure you guys know what I'm talking about. When there's too much to do, when there's always too much to do, it's so hard to resist that impulse to take care of just one more thing when you're heading out the door. And often it's that one more thing that, you know, puts you on the wrong side of punctual. Another part of the punctuality puzzle for many of us, which can feed our one more thing-itis, is that many of us with ADHD develop a pretty strong aversion that becomes almost a full-blown fear of being early. And if you've got teenagers or 20-somethings in your life, or you are yourselves, you may have heard of the acronym FOMO, which stands for fear of missing out. My kids make fun of me all the time because I have serious FOMO, serious fear of missing out. But for my ADD clients, for us, there's also what I call FOBE, or phobie, fear of being early. For most of us who have ADD, the thought of being early and actually having to do what feels like wasting time waiting is absolutely unconscionable. It's almost painful. With all we have to do, with everything we're behind on, you know, how can we possibly stand the thought of wasting time waiting, right? I mean, it's tough. But some of this, again, may be an outcropping of poor task management, but it's often related to our aversion to being bored. For many of us, being late may actually be less aversive than being bored, seriously. Even with all the stress and all the repercussions that come with being late all the time, being late can feel like the lesser of evils when you compare it to being bored. I know that sounds a bit dramatic, but it's true for so many of us. I hear about it all the time from my clients with ADHD, and I've sure felt it quite strongly myself. It's a pretty common ADHD tendency, and it's tough sometimes. So if we have all these characteristics that sort of stack the deck against us, all of this sort of doom and gloom, how can someone with ADHD improve their punctuality? Well, truth be told, there's really plenty you can do. And often the changes you need to make to improve your ability to be on time aren't that hard, they aren't that painful, and they really aren't that big. This is an area, punctuality is an area, where a series of small changes and making those changes stick is usually all it takes for most of my clients with ADD to be able to greatly improve their punctuality, honestly. And that's what we're focusing on in coaching. We're focusing on improvement, not perfection. You know, we want to work gradually to improve, help the client improve to where they want to be gradually and be able to sustain it. So if you're someone who's really horribly late all the time and you put all your effort and all your focus on the objective of never, ever, ever being late again, you're really setting yourself up for frustration and for failure. Gradual improvements with a focus on progress rather than on perfection is what will make sustaining those improvements much more likely, much easier for you in the long run. And again, that's our goal in coaching, for you to make continual progress and improvement that you can see, that you can feel, and that you can sustain until you get where you want to be. So where we start the process of improving punctuality in coaching isn't where you might think it is. It isn't with tools or tips or tricks. It isn't with practical recommendations. You know, we get to all that stuff. But when I'm working on punctuality with an ADD client, first and foremost, I want to help them get in touch with why it matters to them to be punctual to begin with. Coaching, of course, is not about one-size-fits-all solutions and strategies. It's different for each client. But we always start in the same place. Excuse me. Without addressing how being on time matters, most of these tools, most of these techniques become useless. This is the part when I'm coaching a client where we dig at what we call in coaching the who of being punctual. Excuse me, I got a little tickle. I'm going to repeat that. So this part when I'm coaching is what we call the who of being punctual. So for you to make the kinds of changes you want to make and to make them last, it's really important that you get down to why those changes really matter to you. You know, those deeper reasons why they matter personally, you know, deep down. Again, why does it matter to you deep down to be on time? And this is going to be a little bit different for each of you depending on what's important to you and depending on your values. So let me tell you what I mean with a personal example. It's probably easier to understand because it's kind of out there. It's kind of a, you know, a nebulous way to look at it, but it's, you know, it's something that's really important to the process that we have in coaching. So I have tied, personally, I have tied my efforts to being punctual to the things that are important to me, like setting a good example for my clients. You know, being someone on whom the people I love can rely and modeling good habits for my kids. It also helps to think about how much punctuality matters to my husband, because it's important to me to be understanding and supportive of him as a partner. So when evening comes and I'm exhausted and I don't feel like doing everything in my evening routine, like, you know, getting ready for my next day's appointments, I'll remind myself that as an ADD coach, it would be disingenuous for me to blow it off and then turn around tomorrow and work with my clients to do the things I'm not doing. So it's very important to me as a value, you know, deep down, a core value for me. It's very important that I walk the walk if I'm going to talk the talk. And the same goes for parenting my kids. So if I'm going to tell them about being punctual and about preparing, I've got to turn around and do it myself. So that's a really big motivator for me if I can keep that, you know, in the front of my mind. Authenticity is also something that I really value. You know, also if I have the impulse to do that one more thing when I'm on my way to meet a friend, I remind myself that he or she is counting on me. And then I set a reminder to do the thing that was pulling me later, or I find a way to capture it in my task management system. So when I have the urge to respond to just one more email before I go out to dinner with my husband, I remind myself that it will be causing him to get anxious if we're late for our reservation. And then it's easier for me to let that email go. And of course, you know, I have good task management systems in place. So if I don't take care of it on the spot, I don't worry that it's going to be forgotten. Tying your efforts to being punctual. I'm going to say that, I said that backwards. Tying your efforts to be punctual, tying your punctuality efforts, doing what it takes to be on time, you know, those efforts, tying them to the things you value will make it easier to sustain the work and create good habits and routines that will make it easier in the long run. So much of what we do in coaching is about making life easier, right? For us, the easy stuff tends to be the not so easy stuff for us. You know, if it was rocket science for us, it wouldn't be so hard. But it's how you make changes that last for the long haul. And it's a fundamental piece of what we do in coaching. Again, tying the changes you want to make to what matters to you, to your deeper reasons down, you know, deep down, sort of in your heart of hearts, is a really important piece of coaching. It's also an important way for us to give ourselves a little bit of a dopamine boost. You know, remember, dopamine is the brain chemical that's responsible for feelings of reward and feelings of motivation. And research has shown that individuals with ADHD are deficient in dopamine processing. So anything we can do to boost dopamine is going to be hugely helpful for us. That's a big topic for another time, but you tying the things you need to do, you tying your efforts to be on time to the things that matter to you will automatically give you a dopamine boost. That's part of the reason why that works. The next step in getting a handle on punctuality is to help the client look at their thinking and to make some changes. And I like to start with having my clients look at their thinking around the concept of punctuality and likely make some needed changes there. So I want you to ask yourself, you know, what does on time mean? This is one of those things that sounds so obvious, but it's almost always something that needs to be poked at a bit with my ADD clients. If you have an appointment that starts at, say, 8 o'clock, any kind of appointment, think about what time you should be there for that 8 o'clock appointment. If you're thinking 8 o'clock or just a minute or five before, you know, that's the wrong answer. Again, I'd love to see a show of hands, but how many of you have been more than 5 minutes early, and I mean waited more than 5 minutes before the starting time of your last commitment or appointment? I don't need to see a show of hands, of course, because I've been doing this for about a decade, maybe a little more, because I think I know the answer. You know, having done this, I'm pretty sure there would be fewer than 1 in 10 of you with your hands up. So we really need to take a look at what being on time means and sort of, you know, reprogram a little bit there. Most of us really don't give this much more than a superficial thought. If you're like me, you know, the majority of my ADD clients, you might need to do some reprogramming. So on time doesn't mean you arrive at the building at 7:55 for an 8 o'clock appointment, or that you're circling the block or parking lot at 7:55 for that 8 o'clock appointment. On time doesn't mean that you're parking and you're out of your car at 7:55, and it doesn't mean that you blow in the door at 7:59. Honestly, on time means composed, prepared, focused, transitioned in, and ready to go at least 7:59 for an 8 o'clock commitment. So I'm going to say that one more time because I think I jumbled it, and it's important. On time means you're composed, you're prepared, you're focused, you're transitioned in, and you're ready to go in advance of the designated start time. So think about how you think about being on time when you're scheduling appointments of all kinds, you know, whether it's getting to work on time, meeting someone for dinner, doctor's appointment, whatever it is. Again, it sounds obvious, but many of us don't really think through how long it really takes to get somewhere and all that is involved. So here's an example from my life. You know, if your kids have practice at 5:30 at a place that's 15 minutes drive from your house, you know, you need to leave your house by 5:15, right? That's the way I always thought of it. But that's actually wrong. So 5:30 practice, 15-minute drive, leaving the house at 5:15 is not right. And that's where so many of us get ourselves into trouble, and that's where I used to get myself into trouble. Even if we are organized and we leave the house, quote, on time, we're really not on time. For years, I used to joke around that the door from my kitchen to my garage was some sort of a time warp. So say I have a commitment at 8:30 somewhere that's a 30-minute drive for me, and I decide I need to leave my house at 8. Again, it's a 30-minute drive, 8:30 commitment. And let's say I'm really organized and I put everything I need all together right by the door, you know, keys, purse, attaché, whatever, phone. So I'm really ready to go. So I'd see 8 o'clock on the clock. I'd grab my stuff and I'd go out the door at 8 o'clock on the dot. Once I go out into the garage, I put the door up, I open the car, I put my things into the car, I climb in, I buckle my seatbelt, I put the key in the ignition. I'm already 3 or 4 minutes behind. So I'm already behind, even though I technically left the house at 8 o'clock. It sounds crazy. I'm a pretty smart cookie in general, but it really used to baffle me that I would instantly be late before I had even backed out of my driveway, and I never did the math. You know, and that's not involving an elevator or, you know, several sets of steps to get out of my home. You get where I'm going with this, I'm sure. And it might seem like I'm over-explaining the obvious, but it's actually a really, really big problem for most of my clients. And it's a bit of an aha when we start talking about it. Even if the moon and the stars and the planets are all aligned and there's no traffic, so to speak, no traffic at all to speak of on your trip, and you really get there in the estimated travel time, in that estimated 30 minutes, you're going to lose at least those same 3, 4, 5 minutes on the other end of the trip too, parking, unbuckling, getting out, locking the car, putting the keys away. And that's not even counting wrangling kids if they're part of the equation or elevators or anything else. So that 30-minute trip really is more like 40 or 45. And if I was lucky and really on the ball, I was only 10 minutes late that time. This really sunk in for me about, 12, 14 years ago personally. If you've ever heard me speak before, you've probably heard me talk about my super organized husband. Poor guy has no idea I talk about him in these trainings, but he's probably seriously the least ADD person on the planet. You know, he's totally organized naturally, and he's been a great example of punctuality for me in the nearly 30 years we've been married. He's the kind of guy who, when he tells me he's going to be home at a certain time, if he's more than like 5 to 10 minutes later than that, I'm actually going to start to worry because he's always early. I still call it early. You know, he says he'll be home at 5:15, he's home at 5:10. Never, ever a minute late unless we're together, of course. If I'm part of the equation, then he's much more likely to be late. And when my kids were really little, my husband worked crazy hours and he traveled a lot, and so I was always the one who shuttled the kids to their activities. And when he made a job change and he was around more and he started to do more of the driving, more of the shuttling, I noticed a big difference in the way he handled getting the kids to their activities. So when I would be taking them, you know, if my kids had to be at practice at 5:30, somewhere 15 minutes away, we'll stick with that example, at 5:15, I'd be running around like Henny Penny, you know, making sure they have all their stuff and trying to get them in their stuff in the car. And honestly, there was quite a bit of yelling going on. And even when I was really organized and had everything ready to go, there was still quite a flurry of chaos at departure time. But when my husband would take the kids to that same 5:30 practice, again, 15 minutes away, he'd tell them, you know, we have to leave at 5:15, just like I would. But he would have everybody getting in the car at 5 o'clock. And at first, it drove me insane, as I'd be saying, you said 5:15, it's not time yet. You know, we're not ready. I'd usually still be feeding them, still, you know, running around trying to get everyone to use the bathroom, find their cleats, you know, find their gear, all that stuff. But to him, leaving at 5:15 means he's out of the driveway and in the flow of traffic by 5:15. Not loading their gear in the car, not herding them into the car, not buckling them up. It's a really subtle distinction, but it's a very big difference in practicality. So with him, the kids would arrive at practice, you know, calm and focused and ready to go. And with me, you know, we're all frazzled and sometimes they don't have everything they would need and I'd be stressed and I'd be feeling like, you know, mother of the year again for the insanity that it took me to get them there. And it was like a light bulb moment for me. And I worked hard to change the way I define what it means to be on time, and everything changed. Also, because I have ADD myself and my own case of boredom phobia, so to speak, my own fear of being bored, I've had to find ways to address my aversion to waiting. One of the things I've done that a lot of my clients find helpful is to make sure I've always have meaningful things to do. For me, it's not enough to just bring a book or a magazine, because that still feels like wasting time to me sometimes. You know, I need to bring something to do that's actually productive, something that will be letting me cross something off my to-do list, so to speak. And what that is, of course, is different all the time, but it's something that I've gotten into the habit of thinking about. So I'll bring my tablet, I'll bring my laptop, and I'll work on a presentation or a newsletter article or something else that really feels productive. I've had clients who started keeping their bill-paying supplies, you know, envelopes, labels, stamps, pens, et cetera, in like a zipper pouch or a zipper binder, and they'll grab all their current bills and take care of that while they're waiting. You know, around the holidays, I keep my greeting cards and all the supplies, labels, stamps, pens, all that stuff, in a tote bag that I take everywhere with me to work on while I'm waiting. And there have been many years that I did all my holiday cards in waiting rooms and at kids' sports practices. It's a lot easier for me to be what feels like early if I know I can be productive and I can make good use of that time. So that's something to think about. And that's really important to me. But each and every one of us is a little bit different. So as I'm talking about solutions, I'm talking about tips and tricks and things, I'm hoping the things I'm throwing at you will just spark some additional ideas for you to help you with whatever your individual unique challenges are. Because, again, this struggle with being on time is a little bit different for each of us. In order for you to come up with the best approach to improving your punctuality, self-awareness is really essential. So when I'm coaching a client, for example, looking at what already works for them is a very important piece of helping them develop the kinds of individual ways of doing things that will help them to be relying on their strengths to better manage their challenges. So a little introspection and self-awareness is really important. It's a big piece of what we do in coaching. It's called what we call a strength-based approach. So we want to get in touch with and to help our clients get in touch with what their natural strengths are, how they process information, what already works for them, because those are the things that are going to come most easily. And if we can find ways to apply those areas of strength, those things that are already working, to the areas where they're struggling, where they're challenged, life is going to be much easier. It's also important to take a good hard look at what you might be doing that isn't serving you particularly well in your quest to be on time. So be honest with yourself and think about what you're doing that makes you late. Analyze it. For example, you know, what are your time drains? Do you tend to get sucked into email or the internet when you're trying to get out the door? Do you often lose time vegging out to your morning news show with your coffee? That's a big one for me. I have to be really careful. Do you get sidetracked by cleaning up? Again, another one I have a tendency to do. Force yourself to stop, analyze a bit, and think about where you get off track, and then be honest about whether or not you may need to make some changes in how you're doing things. Whatever your personal hurdles are, be honest with yourself and realistic about what you need to do differently to make yourself more likely to be on time. Now, some practical things you can do to improve your punctuality once you've addressed the thinking piece of it is to first and foremost always wear a watch and make sure you have plenty of clocks everywhere that you could possibly need them in your home and in your office. I'm actually floored by how many clients come to me with complaints about time management but don't wear a watch. It actually cracks me up, to tell you the truth. How can you manage something if you can't see it or if you're not aware of it, especially with our ADD time blindness? It's kind of crazy. So be honest with yourself. You know you have a wonky sense of time. You know you're not always the best judge and the best at keeping track of time, and do yourself a favor and wear a watch. And for many of us, watches and clocks with analog faces, you know, the ones with the old-fashioned hands that tell the time rather than a digital face, can be much easier to read and will help you much more easily see the passage of time. And over time, I think they can actually help you get better at time estimation. Sounds a little crazy, I know, but you may be amazed. I've had some clients who've been absolutely floored by it. And here's why. You know, when I see a digital clock that says 7:58, for example, I think, great, I have 2 minutes. I can do X, Y, and Z in 2 minutes. I automatically go to thinking about how to fill those 2 minutes. That's just my tendency. But we all know how that goes, right? Filling those 2 minutes ends up being a disaster. Now, when I look at an analog clock that says 7:58, I think, crap, you know, I'd better get out of here. Give it a try. It actually makes a much bigger difference than you might think. And for those of you who are thinking about the watch thing, you know, I don't need a watch, I use my cell phone, I'd like you to think twice about that too. If you're in a meeting, or even like a casual lunch with someone or something, you know, picking up your cell phone, unlocking the screen, and checking the time looks rude, even if you don't mean it to be. But it can also lead you to getting sucked into your email, into your text messages, et cetera, and lead you to tuning out. It's also something that you have to be much more proactive to remember to do than simply, you know, looking at a clock face or looking at a watch face. But the good news is, for those of you like me, there are apps out there that will put an analog clock face on your phone screen that doesn't go away when the phone screen locks or goes to sleep. It stays up and it stays on. And that's really helpful. That's something that's really important to me. But I have clocks all over my house, including my bathroom. You know, I have one strategically placed above the shower so I can see it while I'm taking a shower, and I have them, you know, I have one on my desk all at all times. Even though there's a clock on my computer monitor, I still have an analog clock face, you know, on my desk. There's one on my vanity where I get ready, you know, put my makeup on and all that stuff. I have them everywhere. There are very few places in my house that I don't have a direct view of a clock, and that's on purpose. I don't collect them or anything. I just really need them as tools. But whatever kinds of, you know, watches or clocks you use, do yourself a favor and set them to the real time. You know, don't try to play that game with yourself where you set your clocks ahead, because you're smarter than that, I guarantee you. And it just makes you do the math. You know, you can't trick yourself into being on time. You just have to do the work. And timers and alarms are really handy, inexpensive tools that can help with that. They can really help with being on time in lots of different ways. I like to use a variety of timers that make different sounds and have different functions, and some that have different visuals to them, so that I'm less likely to become bored or immune to them. And, of course, there are many apps that can serve as timers as well. But many of my clients will do better if their timers and alarms are not attached to their phones because, again, they can get distracted by their phones, but also because they can have too many, you know, beeps and dings and tones coming from their phones, which can dilute the ones that they really need. They can really, you know, make the ones that they really need feel less important. So if I'm about to do something where I know I'm likely to need a little help, you know, disengaging, I may set two timers. The first one is usually within reach, and it serves as sort of a warning shot for me to wrap things up and to transition out of whatever I'm doing. I call that one a transition timer. The second timer I call my drop-dead timer, and that one would not be within reach. I would have to get up to turn that one off. The key, of course, is knowing myself well enough to know when I'm going to need it. So what kinds of things and what kinds of circumstances are most likely for me to lose track of time are important for me to be aware of. So again, you know, back to that self-awareness piece again. And timers can serve so many purposes, but one that helps with punctuality in particular is to play what I call time estimation games with yourself. It can be really eye-opening. You know, guess what time you think it is before you look at the clock. Estimate how much time you think it will take to do something or get somewhere, and then confirm it. You know, time estimation games give you some real data you can use to make better decisions, but they also improve your ability to judge time conceptually. So timing everyday tasks, especially those tasks that make you late, those sort of one more thing things, the things that you squeeze in, that can be really helpful. And many years ago, I started timing myself doing the things that were frequently making me late. For me, it was things like, you know, loading and emptying the dishwasher and folding laundry. And I was really surprised at some of the results and some of what I found, but it gave me information I needed to make, you know, informed, thoughtful decisions when I'm faced with a couple extra minutes. So now I know it might take me anywhere from 15 to 25 minutes to fold a load of white laundry, but only 5 to 10 to fold a load of towels. So I can make, you know, informed choices based on data, based on real information, rather than based on my, you know, usually incorrect ADD hunches. And one last tip for helping you get out the door on time and with less stress is to really give some thought to how you're using your alarm clock in the morning. You know, many, if not most of us with ADD struggle to get up and get moving in the morning, and I know I'm not alone because I have lots of clients that have the same struggle. But for some of us, a single run-of-the-mill alarm clock isn't going to cut it. So something more innovative might be a good help. And there are lots and lots of clocks on the market these days that are designed for those of us who are slow waker-uppers. Of course, there are vibrating clocks, and, you know, there are all kinds of really innovative kinds of clocks that make you work to turn them off, like jigsaw puzzle clocks and clocks that roll away or fly away until you get up and turn them off. But you might also want to rethink the way you use the snooze function. So if you're someone who hits the snooze over and over for like 30 minutes, you're actually missing out on quite a bit of additional quality sleep. So it may be worth just setting your alarm for the time you really need to get up or just a few minutes before and make yourself work to turn it off. You know, put the clock across the room or right next to or even in the bathroom so that you have to get up and you're just a few steps from the shower before you turn the alarm off. And finally, I really would be remiss to talk about punctuality and being on time without talking just briefly about the power of routines and habits in helping you. I could do, you know, a multiple webinar series on the power of habits. But having a well-entrenched, helpful routine of what you do every evening to prepare for the next day can help you more than I can even say. You know, your evening routine is important to setting the tone for the next day. And what you do as part of your evening routine can make all of the difference for you in your punctuality the next day. And this is where, again, that planning comes into play. So if you know you're spacey in the morning and you tend to run late, do absolutely everything you can the night before by laying out clothes, makeup, hair stuff, having lunches packed, you know, your wallet, your purse, and everything together ready to grab and go. So what you do the night before can and will make all the difference in your mornings. Everything that's left, everything that absolutely can't be done the night before should be part of a morning routine so that everything you do is eventually on autopilot and you don't have to rely on your foggy morning brain to guide or probably misguide you through your morning. And this is where checklists can really come in handy too for adults as well as for kids. I can't emphasize enough the benefit of routine and what I like to call putting your life on autopilot. And again, I don't have time to go into it in detail, but what you do, you know, do everything that you can do. Do what you can is what I'm trying to say to eliminate the thinking in the morning. So when we have a solid routine for what we do in the morning to get ready for the day, we don't wake up and have to think about how much time the things we need to do take and when we're going to squeeze them in and whether we have the energy and so on. So start with just 3 to 5 things max that you absolutely want to do every morning. Think through the order in which they should happen. Gather data about how long they take and then create a morning routine checklist for yourself. You know, you can laminate it or put it in a sheet protector so you can check stuff off with a wipe-off marker and reuse it every morning until it becomes like second nature for you. And then once it's second nature for at least a month, you know, add another 1, 2, maybe 3 max steps that you would like to add to that routine. Keep it simple and go slow, but build upon it. And the same thing goes for the evening. You know, 3 to 5 max to start with and adding 1 to 3 more after a month of consistency and a month of feeling comfortable. So thinking about what gets in your way of being on time is going to be a good key for what kinds of things should be part of your evening and part of your morning routines. And those things can go on your checklist under, you know, preparing for leaving. You know, do you have your cell phone? Do you have your glasses? Do you have the address, the direction? You know, think through all the things you can do to prepare for the next day and make them part of your evening checklist. Make the morning things part of your morning checklist so it really becomes a no-brainer in the next morning. Also, if you're like me and you struggle in the morning with low energy and brain fog, let me try that again, brain fog, not brain frog, it can also help you tremendously, I could probably do some now, to get your blood pumping first thing. So if you can't squeeze in a full workout for 20 or 30 minutes or a walk or a jog, try 5-10 minutes of yoga, a few jumping jacks or push-ups or something to get creative, you know, to get the blood pumping to the brain. Along the same lines, and it might sound obvious to some of you, but it isn't always, you know, some of us are better off jumping right in the shower the minute we turn off that alarm to get the blood flowing and get ourselves, you know, awake and alert. Many of my clients, and I know I'm the same way, you know, they want to grab that cup of coffee before they hit the shower, but that often turns into a slippery slope and ends up with them getting lost sort of in the morning fog and getting themselves behind. So the order of the things you do in the morning can sometimes be an important part of how you keep yourself on time, and they can be important things to put on your morning routine checklist. And they can make a huge difference in your ability to be punctual. So you really need to be aware and pay attention to your tendencies and analyze them so you can troubleshoot. So I know I'm running long. I'm you know, and I've covered an awful lot of information here. Our struggles with being on time are usually a complex set of behaviors and habits that need to be addressed. And I hope I've given you some things to think about and a good jumping off place for you to make some changes in the way you're doing things so that you can improve your punctuality and reduce the stress you may have around constantly racing against time. When I'm working with a private coaching client, I will sometimes encourage them to commit to some field work between sessions to keep them moving toward what they want to achieve. So I have some simple field work for those of you who would like to keep your work on punctuality moving forward. And this is on the handout. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to answer these questions for yourself. And again, these are listed on the handout. But first, what are your punctuality roadblocks? So what gets in your way? Next, what are you willing to do differently? And then what works? You know, pay attention to what works for you. That's just as important as what doesn't work. And always, always focus on progress and effort, not on perfection. That's so important. So that's it for me. Again, I have a couple of offers, little tongue-tied. I have a couple of offers for you guys, those of you who've hung in there with me. Again, the transcript of this training is available through my website. When you sign up for my newsletter. So just go to www.coachingaddvantages.com/addclasses-on-time for access to the PDF transcript of this call. And again, I have a special code for anybody who's hung in there with me that's good for a full 20% off any product or self-coaching program on my website, including the Push Past Procrastination Program. And at the time that this is being recorded, the next group starts Monday. I start them periodically throughout the year, so I'm sure there's a next group starting really soon. You can learn more about that program at www.addclasses.com/PPP, and the coupon code is simply ADDClasses, all one word, no spaces. I know I've thrown a lot at you, but again, my name is Lynn Idris, and you can learn more about me and what I do at my website, www.coachingaddvantages.com. So, Tara, do we have any questions?
We do, but you answered most of them after they were submitted. There was one about waking up in the morning, and you answered it everything that was asked. We have a couple more questions, though. And if you are listening, you can type your question in on the webcast page, not the chat room. You need to scroll down the middle of the webcast page. It's funny, though. You were talking about being on time and what it really means. And I thought I knew I thought I was on time because I got there at the time I was supposed to be. But I'm like, yeah, I don't think I was ready. I'm kind of stressed out. And yeah, so though I'm not late, I'm really not on time for things. So, I mean, I'm sure other people listening can relate to that. So that I thank you, being ready and yeah.
It's a different way to look at it, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah. I'm like, crap, I'm not on time. I'm not late, but I'm not on time. Yes, and those of you who want to ask a question, you do need to type it in on the webcast page. We will not be taking questions over the phone, so you do need to write it in on the question form. We did have a question about working with agendas. I think that might mean like an agenda, like a planner. Okay. Do you recommend those for helping with punctuality? And are you familiar with the acronym SMART, S-M-A-R-T, or MAPS, M-A-P-S? And would you advise those to help with punctuality?
Really, I think they're very important tools for lots of reasons, for planning, for punctuality. And exactly what kind of planner, what kind of calendar, what kind of agenda you use, really, honestly, in my professional opinion of more than a decade, is more a matter of preference than anything. There really is no one single kind of planner that's going to, you know, work better for someone with ADHD than another. The most important thing about any planner is really more about the behaviors, you know, using it consistently, making sure everything is captured, making sure more than anything, the place where they often fall apart for most of my clients is that you're reviewing it on a regular basis, you know, so that you're allowing yourself time to pause and look ahead at what's coming down the pike. You know, it does you no good at all to have an appointment or a commitment in your planner and not see it until either it's too late or until you're already behind the eight ball. So it really is, you know, the behavioral stuff that makes a big difference. The layout of them, the design of them, really they're more a matter of preference than anything. But for some of us with ADHD, probably for most of us with ADHD, you know, trying a new planner with the same old sort of, you know, tried and true behaviors that go along with it can make it a little bit more fun. And we're kind of an odd bunch because we, most of us tend to have like a real affinity for gadgets and gizmos and organizational stuff. Like I think we're the ones that keep the office supply stores in business. So getting a new planner sometimes can make it feel kind of fun. Kind of, I always say they're, you know, they're kind of shiny, they're kind of new. And, you know, really it's the behaviors behind the planner that make the difference in whether or not it's going to work for you. So, you know, sure. I mean, I've heard of, I totally lost the acronym. There's the one that
SMART and MAPS.
Yeah, I've heard of both of them. I don't have personal experience working with
either
one of them. You know, clients always want to, you know, what's the perfect plan or what's the perfect agenda, and really it's the one that you use the most consistently.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we do have another question. This is a good question, and I find that I get a rush from just making it on time. I also think I suffer from the belief that I am special and the rules don't apply to me. How do I overcome this type of thinking? That's an awesome question.
That's a really good question. That's a really, really good question. So the rush is the rush. You know, that's kind of simplistically, you know, speaking, obviously I'm not a physician, but the way I always explain it to my clients is the ADHD brain is understimulated. You know, the part of our brain that is responsible for executive functions like, you know, planning and organizing information and prioritizing and getting started on things is understimulated. We've seen that in brain scans since the 90s. You know, it's a known medical fact. That rush of the rush of rushing, the rush of blowing in at the last minute, all of that, you know, gives your brain a lot of stimulation. It really fires up that underactive part of your brain. It's kind of like procrastination. You know, we get this boost of adrenaline. We get this boost of, you know, basically stress hormones that give our brain the stimulation that make us feel, you know, awake and alert and alive. And it feels like, you know, we ADDers always say we're best under pressure. That's super and all, and in the moment, you feel more clear and more focused, but in the long run, all of that rushing and all of that stress and all of that, you know, really does take its toll on you. First of all, you wouldn't be on the call if you weren't having trouble with punctuality. So it feels like it's working in the moment, but in the long run, as a way of sort of managing life, it's not. Plus, we know what stress does to our bodies, right? And that's what all that rushing is. It, you know, it leads to disease. It leads to cortisol release, which leads to, you know, like fat accumulation in our bellies. It's bad for our hearts. You know, it's definitely bad for our state of mind. And then we've got sort of the recoup period afterwards where we're kind of fried and we're not fully present and we have to recover from all of that stress. So working on the thinking, working on, you know, if I were coaching, you know, the person who asked this question, we'd get, you know, kind of down and dirty, so to speak, in the why it matters stuff, into that, you know, kind of the who piece. You know, how do you want to show up in the world? How do you want people to perceive you? Why does it matter? You know, if it didn't matter to you, you wouldn't be on this call. So I would want to dig at, you know, first of all, what do you get from being late? And, you know, the adrenaline rush is part of it. Sometimes, you know, attention can be a piece of it. You know, maybe for some people there is a bit of a control, you know, kind of an issue. But most of us feel badly enough about it after the fact that, you know, the payoff really isn't that great. So I would want to get to the who piece. I would want to go, you know, dig deep at why it matters to you and help you find ways to keep that in front of you when that temptation to, you know, when you're jonesing for all that stimulation and that temptation to make yourself crazy, rushing, running late, is sneaking up on you.
And then the last question is, how do you overcome boredom with routines? Like, logically, the person knows that routine work and help, but they get bored with them. So how do you recommend dealing with that?
First of all, taking it slowly. So, you know, a lot of my clients, you know, will say, well, I've tried that, you know, it doesn't work for me, I get bored with it. But what they've tried is either way too confining and way too, like, kind of constricting, way too strict for them. So we want to find your sweet spot of routine, your, you know, sort of your Goldilocks spot, not too strict, not too constraining, but just supportive enough to help you. We want to take it slow so that you're building upon it, but we want to also make sure that you're seeing the progress, you're seeing the improvement that these routines are giving you. You're seeing the payback. So an important part in coaching is to help my clients keep an eye on, you know, the progress that they're making. Because usually we see, you know, where we are and we see where we want to be, and our focus is on the gap in between. We don't really tend to focus on the fact that that gap is slowly, you know, getting smaller. So helping them really feel the progress and finding ways for them to, you know, to measure it, to, you know, keep track of how the routine is helping them can really help with that dopamine boost that you need to make things, you know, less boring and to keep you motivated. So, you know, sort of getting to the, you know, the deep down why it matters stuff, but really helping you focus on, you know, finding your just right amount of routine and then finding a way to make the effort that you're putting into it, you know, nothing compared to the payback that you're seeing.
Okay, and we've had people writing in about, they're really excited about the transcript and would like you to give out that website address once again.
Sure. It is, it's my website. It's www.coachingaddvantages.com. So that's Coaching Advantages with two Ds. So it's coachingadvantages.com/ADD classes-on time. So ADD classes is all one word. Dash on time, and on time is all one word.
Okay. And yeah, and Lynn's contact information is on the handout because we had people writing and asking for your email address and all that. So
okay.
All her information is on the handout, the PDF. If you download that, you have her contact information. And with that, I want to thank you for an excellent webinar. We've been getting people writing in saying that they're ready to work on their punctuality again, that this is a great webinar. So thank you so much, Lynn. And do you have any quick final thoughts or anything you want to leave people with before we end tonight's call?
You know, the payback for everyone is a little bit different in punctuality, but to have the peace of mind and, you know, to kind of slow the frenetic pace to me has been like life-changing. For me not to always feel that pressure and for me to be more present, you know, for my family and the people that I care about and the people that I'm meeting with and, you know, with whatever's going on the other end of what I'm rushing or hopefully not rushing to be punctual, for that peace of mind and that ability to be present is, you know, it's much more dramatic than I ever would have expected. And I swear if I can do it, you can do it too, because I really struggled for, you know, the first 30 years of my life. So there's hope.
Okay. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Lynn Edress, and thank you, everyone, for taking the time to listen to this ADDClasses.com webinar. Have a great night. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.